Hey, are you tired of meeting with prospects only to have them put you off again and again, turning them into yet another missed opportunity? Are you tired of trying to do the same things in meetings and not seeing any improvement in the amount of business you're closing? Do you want to stop giving your time away in hopes that a client will buy something or someday transfer their assets? Well, Whiteboard University is our two-hour live workshop where we will teach you how to have engaging meetings with every prospect and client you meet with, how to quantify your advice so prospects are willing and excited to pay you a financial planning fee, and finally, where we teach you how to explain financial strategies in a dynamic, interesting way that will separate you from all the boring advisors who do the same old thing. If you're serious about having better client meetings and closing business faster, visit WhiteboardU.com today and sign up for one of our live workshops in November. Whiteboard University offers a 100% money-back guarantee if we don't help you improve your communication and meeting skills. That's WhiteboardU.com. We'll see you there. Well, hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Becoming an Elite Financial Advisor. I am one of your hosts, Andy Traub. Today, we're going to do a niche episode where we talk with a person who's been a part of our EAN community and coaching and just programs and just general family for a while. And that's Mark Hansen. So, Mark, thank you for taking some time to share with me and also, more importantly, with other advisors out there that are curious about, different niches out there. So thanks for taking some time to be with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for inviting me on.
So we're going to talk about a niche that I think that most people, as they talk about them, go, yeah, I don't know if I want to do that one. Because I would say that this one has obviously tremendous upside, but it requires a lot of patience. And I think that people would rather go hunt elephants, right? Than they would sort of do the smaller, more smaller accounts and be more patient and go long term. So let me start with maybe the hardest question, and then people can stop listening 3 minutes in. No, I'm kidding. Hopefully they don't. But let me start with maybe the hardest question, which is we're going to talk about working and really targeting much younger accounts, younger people. Make the case for, and we'll get into how you approach them and why they're attractive to work with, but make the case why it's worth pursuing someone that is, has a few kids, maybe just broke six figures for the first time in their life in their income. But it's, they haven't been somewhere for 20 years and have an account to move over. They're 30 years from retirement, at least. Make the case in a minute or two why those people are attractive to you and why other advisors should be pursuing them.
These people are attractive to me because they're entering into a very complex area in life. They're entering into maybe the first time that finances are really important to make sure that they're on the right track, right? The rocket ship has to be going the right direction or it's never going to get where it's headed. So yes, retirement is a 30-year time frame, but if we take a misstep on year one, we might mess up the last 20, 30 years. And so it's coming around families and who are becoming confused. You know, at this point, a lot of times people are starting to stack up excess cash. They don't really know what to do with it. They're reaching the limits of their own wisdom. And they're starting to say, how do I get more wisdom? Who do I talk to? And when you find people right there and you offer them a path, a plan, a sequential series of steps that they can do, people are very delighted to say, okay, here we go. Now I know what to do. And where that helps them is now I feel like I'm stewarding my finances well. Now I feel like I'm leading my family well. And I really enjoy that aspect of it. I would say that is a slightly different piece of it where I enjoy giving the knowledge to somebody else, teaching them, maybe giving them a lens through which to view their finances. And that changes their demeanor and they carry that different demeanor back into their family. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Now, I will point out a few things that, I think that advisors have to be up for the task. And that is that, there's obviously several different ways to grow wealth and attain, AUM from clients. And I think, what most advisors hope is that, there's a knock at the door and someone says, hey, I have a delivery and it's a truckload of money and, just where should we put it? Right. And it's like you and the idea is you have a client that says, oh yeah, I've got $5 million over here, and you're like, do you want it? Yeah, I'll take that. And that's the, you know, dump the load right there. Great. Then you've got, hey, you know, do you want to be a part of my journey as I grow to build that? And I think that most advisors are just would rather hope that dump trucks come and just unload, right? And the other problem that you're competing with versus the dump truck is that, like, as you said, and I think you said something really important, is that people want and need a way to understand finances, have a framework for understanding. And this is why, as much as people give Dave Ramsey junk, you know, everybody knows how many baby steps he has, right? I mean, it's like there's an order to follow. And again, I think that if you're willing to put in the work and say, hey, when you work with me, this is the system we follow, which lends itself towards financial planning, which it lends itself towards charging a fee, even if that fee is $2,000 or $3,000, meaning you're probably not going to get a $10,000 planning fee out of a family in their, you know, early 30s, unless you're a business owner. But I want to make sure that people hear the point that you made, which is people want a map. We have actually an episode we're going to be talking about that. Maybe we've already talked about it based on when we released this recording, about people want their advisors to be map makers. They're like, Mark, tell me what to do, right? And make it really clear, right? So tell me this, how did you first get into that group? Why were you drawn to that group at all?
I was drawn to it because I am less interested in the dump trucks showing up. Somebody who's done all the work, they've got the $5 million. They just want me to help them keep it. I found that people are really attached to those $5 million. I am young. I look very young. And people were pretty skeptical about backing their dump truck up to my site and deciding to dump it off. And I didn't feel
like
hiding
that. That's a really honest perspective, and I appreciate that. And I think that sometimes it would do it, sorry to interrupt, by the way, but I think it would lend everyone a favor if sometimes people were more honest with younger advisors and be like, listen, I'm pretty sure you shave, but I can't tell. So let's not send you out to the retirees, you know, because it's just not a good use of your time. So anyway, you got a little scruff. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's
but I appreciate too, where it's like, hey, like I'm just gonna have a better chance to work with those people. So you were excited to talk to them. I heard you say something great about other people were more attached to their money. So tell me, what is enjoyable about working with this group of people?
Yeah, so these are people who are stepping, again, into an area of complexity. They're seeking an answer. And when you start delivering answers to them, when you start helping them clear away the trees and make a path through the jungle or whatever metaphor you want to say, as you start to do that, they are able to look backwards and then say, like, wow, there's a path. I've made progress. And it's very easy for them to be making that progress. And as in, the steps they need to take are easy to move forward on. Sometimes the hard part is getting them to move forward. And that's that juxtaposition of they are just now entering the area where things are getting complex. They might not be motivated to take action. And that's why I'm doing sometimes a lot of filtering of, hey, is this person ready to take action, or do they just want some knowledge and then they want to sit on it for a couple of years? And so there is maybe that risk working on the front end versus on the back end closer to retirement. People have the deadline. They want to leave the job. Yeah. They want to go. Yeah. You know, it's a little different on the front end.
Well, I think about this. So there's different kinds of urgency. Like there's urgency like, hey, you have to just start taking, you know, required minimum distributions, you know, in 6 months or something like that. That's an urgency. Or, hey, you've got 10 years left. Let's, you know, get your stuff in order or whatever. There's another urgency, which is, hey, you guys just had your third kid and you have $250,000 in life insurance, which is going to take care of your family for about 18 months. Right.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Like, let's talk about that. There's obviously different kinds of urgency, right? Like, and it's funny too, because, you know, you've got that sort of quadrant of important, unimportant, urgent, not urgent, you know, and it's like, if you delay things long enough, they become very urgent, right? If you ignore them long enough, right?
Yeah.
So there's also the urgency of, I want to get in early. It's sort of like, if you're going to buy tickets to a concert, when's all the urgency? It's really early, because that's when the opportunity is there to get the best seat. And so I think that's also part of telling the story to these people. So if you're an advisor and you're younger and you feel like, gosh, I don't know that I can get these older people to trust me as much, and so I'm going to target a younger audience. Mark, what's your advice to them when it comes to how you approach them? What kind of language do you use? What examples? What are the products? What are the services? What are the investments that you approach them with? I'm guessing you're not placing a lot of huge annuities with, a 38 or 32 year old, but you tell me, like, what are the urgency or what are the talking points? If someone's like, hey, I want to listen to this episode and then I want to go do it. I want to go do something with it. What do they need to do? What do they need to say?
Yeah. So again, I fit straight into my target, right? So I've got three kids, and at a certain point in recent history, we did not have a living trust. We had no estate planning documents in order. Yet my wife and I had a goal of traveling internationally every summer to spend some time alone as a married couple. And it's on these airplanes where I'm realizing, okay, our children are completely exposed. If something happens to us in a different country on this airplane, our children are completely exposed. Mm-hmm. And then you start thinking, okay, but how do you get through all of the estate planning? It's okay, there's the, medical power of attorney, there's the durable power of attorney, all those things are in there. And then you start, like you said about life insurance, sometimes people take whatever their employer was offering them. And if you run the math on what should be in your life insurance, you realize you're wildly undercovered. But then I just took that information and started telling other people also in their 30s who also have young families. I'm just saying, this is how I was, this is what I did, and this is how things are different now. And people are responding to that really well. Yeah. There's not a lot of products. There's not a lot of annuities. I do understand that. But there is, again, a real hunger for what do I do with my money? And then maybe it's a long-term play on the investing piece. And that's okay with me. There's still the financial planning process. I still attach my fee structure to that when I start off my relationship with somebody.
So let's stop there for a second, because I think that's where there's a lot of power in the planning piece, is that if you wanted to work with someone younger, certainly there's a life insurance piece. There's somewhat of an investment, but they're not going to be moving any large accounts very likely. I mean, even doctors at this age are just becoming doctors. Like a 32-year-old doctor probably doesn't make that much money and they probably have a ton of debt because they're just getting out of medical school, right? And in their first position, and you're like, oh, it's great. You have a six-figure salary and you have a high six-figure debt. I mean, it's like they're not flush with cash, right? And so what is the opportunity there? I do think that, and again, I don't know when this one's going to come out versus our Map Maker episode, but what's really valuable to someone starting the journey is a map, right? And so if you can be the one who says, I help you draw the map, right? I help you understand the map. That's financial planning. Financial planning is saying, here are the things along the way. And you're not going to have to make this decision for 20 years, but it's on the map and you feel better about it because I put it on the map for you. And they go, I appreciate that I don't have to worry about that yet. Or I appreciate that no matter when this happens on the journey, I'm prepared for it, whether it's some sort of disability insurance or whatever, because nobody plans on getting hurt at work when they're 38 years old and not having an income for 2 years. Like nobody.
Right.
Except for someone who got a policy and said, I don't plan on it, but I'm going to plan on it, if that makes sense. So talk about some specific things that maybe you talk about. You talk about like a lifetime tax bill, things like that. What are some actual topics that you try to bring up with a life insurance with income replacement? Like, let's get specific. Like, pretend I'm 16 years younger, I'm just hitting 30, and I've got my three kids, which I did at 30. What are you saying to me? What's our topics?
The map that we draw walks through the topics. So we're going to talk about estate planning, risk management, retirement, investing, and household cash flow. And that the goal is to do all of those things, to cover all of those topics with the lowest lifetime tax bill, right? We want to drive that as low as we can. And, sometimes I get somebody who's really excited about maximizing this account, maximizing that account. And I have to remind them, tax planning is a marathon. It's not a lap, right? This isn't run around the track as fast as you can. It's a marathon. And you want to win the marathon, not the lap.
Where did you hear that term lifetime tax bill?
think I got that from Stephen Jarvis.
Okay. So I mean, I love that phrase. I just don't think it's very popular, and I like it. Like, I really like the idea of saying, you know, we worry about most people think about their taxes and what's my tax this year? Because it changes on your income, changes upon who's in office and, you know, whatever, right? Depends on, you know, how you do tax planning, right? How can you lower your taxable income? Like, your tax rate can change, but I'm interested, where do you go with the lifetime tax bill? Like, where does that take you?
Yeah. So we start looking at, where are you saving all of your money? Most of the time when I come across somebody, they've saved into the 401k at work, and maybe they've done great jobs there. Maybe they did some self-education, 2.5 YouTube videos, 3.25 TikToks, and now they're maxing out their 401k, and it's explaining to them the consequences of running that strategy year after year after year, the RMD, you know, tax monster that they're creating and that they're setting themselves up for. And we start talking about, if we want to actually lower the lifetime tax bill, if we want to have potentially more control in the future, there might be a series of Roth conversions. And then we start talking about, when do we want to do those? Well, now, when we're at X, Y, and Z tax rates, or in 3 years when those are set to expire. And we start, I just start showing the math, and people become educated very quickly. Again, these are people that typically want to learn and want to take good action. So I educate them, and then we make financially educated decisions, and people are typically opting to start the Roth conversion process now, which again offsets 25 years from now having to do giant chunks of Roth conversions and taking real tax burden consequences later in their lives. We start tackling these problems earlier and right-sizing the ship initially.
Right. Am I right, though, as you reference those things, YouTube and TikTok, that is, for younger people, that's who you're competing with?
Yes, I'm competing with them.
Well,
typically,
I don't know if competing with is the right phrase, but that's that's who they are also taking advice from, right?
Yes, and then I have found that if you frame it up of licensed professionals cannot go online and give specific financial advice, and then you start to frame who is able to go online and give financial advice and try to get specific or recommend specific investments, you start to separate yourself from YouTube and TikTok. And actually was bothered enough about this, I wrote an entire ebook about this whole concept, just to help people understand you're not 3.5 YouTube videos away from being a financial planner. It's a little bit more complicated than that.
Yeah. Tell me what's hard about working with this group.
Sometimes it's hard to get people to see 30 years down the runway.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And the piece that I've started telling people most recently, the verbiage I've come up with that is, the consequence is always the greatest in the current stage of life. As in, these people are 30 years from retirement. Compound growth has potentially 30 years to go. And if you know the compound growth curve, the last year is always the biggest year when it comes to compound growth. So if you delay a year, it's the most expensive thing you can do. And if you then delay one more year, it is again the most expensive thing that you can do. And you're taking the financial burden off of your investments, allowing them to work for you, and you are shouldering more of that financial burden yourself. And you're going to have to contribute more than you might have had to had you started earlier. Giving people that, and even just letting them sit with it, sometimes they need time to digest that this is a real paradigm shift for them. But right. That's the hardest part sometimes is, hey, I see all of your situation. You need to get started now. It's, but life's busy. It's complicated. I don't want to start now. And they delay for a year, not knowing it's the most expensive way to go through it.
Yeah. I think another challenge, and tell me, and this is more nuanced, but I think that it's a challenge when people... When you sit down with someone, you say, listen, if you were able to find, you know, the average car payment in America, I think right now is $700, maybe more, which is just amazing. If you were able to find that much money a month and you have 30 years, like, the number gets crazy. Like, the number that they would be able to grow, again, this is, you know, not a promise. Dips will happen and things will go up and down. But I think that can often be an obstacle to younger people, because you're like, they're like, $8 million? What are you talking about? You know, like, I make $75,000. How am I getting $8 million? You know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, and that's if you don't put any more in. That's if you just put this in, right? Like sometimes the numbers can seem so too good to be true that people go, yeah, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? You know, yeah, it's like the reason absolutely. I don't play the lottery, where I'm like, yep, I'm going to win $40 million. Right. Okay. You know, I'll just save my $5 and go get lunch. You know, it's like that too good to be true kind of thing. So I do think it is part of it is helping people understand, you know, that yes, it's those numbers seem crazy, but, you know, so did paying $3 for a candy bar about 10 years ago. And now candy bars are $3. Right. So,
yeah.
Anyway, so just the idea that like, yes, that's a real number, right? Those are real numbers. Those are real projections. So if you were going to say, hey, this is how you start to really target this group, what kind of things would you encourage our listeners to do on a very practical level next week if they wanted to say, you know what, I've been really neglecting that group, but I want to make sure I'm fostering these relationships. Where are these people? And when you talk about finances, when you introduce yourself, what do you say?
Where are these people? Again, if you are in this demographic, you're just looking around. Where are you, right? Maybe your kids are in sports teams, right? And then you're talking to other moms and dads on the sports teams. You know, around my area, there is a lot of single income families, and I could go talk to a mom's group, right? Because then I know if mom isn't working, I'm assuming dad is covering the bills. Or if dad's not working, then mom is covering the bills. There's moms and dads groups. That's where you start finding really focused people. So you start looking for people who are very intentional. But if you want to just sit at your computer, you can go on LinkedIn, find business owners who have been in that role for at least 3 years. If your company's lasted for more than 3 years, you probably have struck something that's pretty good, and you're probably bumping into an area of actual problems. So how do I start doing this strategically? And now you've got a list of thousands of people that are business owners in their third or fourth year of business. And you can just start messaging people there if you wanted to start. You can start physically or virtually.
Yeah. So I'm on, and I love the sports one. Sten and I talk about that a lot. You know, you need to be ready to answer what do you do on the sideline of a game or practice, you know. So I'm at practice, you know, I'd be the coach because of your kids, because I'm old enough and I'm a coach. So I would say, Mark, you know, give me one of your kids' names.
Parker.
Parker has been a great shortstop for me. Love it. Thank you for feeding him well and making sure he has enough naps. Let's say Parker's in T-ball. Okay. So he's the only kid in the infield that doesn't play in the dirt. You know, I love Parker. Okay. These are true stories. I've only changed the name to protect the guilty. So love Parker. Tell me, how long have you and your wife lived in Frisco?
We've been here for 8 years.
Awesome. And what do you do?
I'm a financial planner.
So what do you help people plan? Like what specifically do you do when you help people plan their finances?
I help people in their 30s spend the next 30 years preparing for their last 30 years. And we do that through estate planning, risk management, and just getting money on track so that we can get to retirement when we want to.
Okay. So I'm in my mid, late 40s. Could you help me?
I definitely can. Yeah.
I don't have 30 years left. I have 20.
So the runway is not quite as long, but the math is the same.
Okay. The math is the same. Okay. Great. I hope that you all listening appreciated that exercise. And I would encourage, you know, you, Mark, but also all of us, you know, when you, whatever your job is, when someone asks you about it, do your very best to have a story associated with, you know, what you do that connects with that person. So for me, it would have to be someone who is a little bit older. You know, I do have a client I work with who is closer to retirement than people in their 30s. And what we found was, you know, his guy was doing very little. And so when he started working with me, he realized, oh, you're a planner, Mark, and you're actually going to talk about these six things, where the other guy was just talking about this one thing. So that's how we're different, right? So I want to encourage everybody who listened to today's show, if this is a group that you are serious about focusing on, then be proactive in your conversations, be prepared, know how to talk about what you do in such a way that people are going to be compelled to say, well, would that apply to me? So have a story, have an example, and start where you are and start serving people in that way. Mark, I want to give you the last word. Is there anything that I haven't asked about that you think would be helpful to our listeners as they think about pursuing this niche?
I think it's a little bit of a different way to approach your business. It's not so much AUM, it's more financial planning. But if you are able to discover what these families need, they do really need it. And it seems to be a very highly referring group of people too, as in nice. Everybody's in their small groups at church or whatever, and you're solving this problem for them. You're telling them this is the way you were. This is what's different. And this is why it's better for your family. Yeah. And then they become raving fans who tell their other friends, and the referral tree grows, I think, pretty quickly with this younger demographic. They talk very well amongst themselves.
Yeah. It's interesting. And I love what we'll end on that point. I love the idea of like, this is the influencer generation. This is the first generation that really, I mean, there were influencers. There's always been influencers, but that there's these people that they will go and advocate for you. Right. And so I think that this is an age demographic that will do that and do that well. So Mark, appreciate your time. Thank you so much. If people wanted to find you, where would they find you online?
You can find me on LinkedIn. It's Mark Hansen, Hansen. Or you can find my website, second-comma.com. That's where you can learn all about me, what I do, and who I do it for. And I'm open to anybody who wants to reach out. Just reach out on LinkedIn, have a conversation if you want to.
Awesome. Mark, thank you for your time today. Thanks for your wisdom. I wish you the best of luck in your continued journey. And thanks for being a part of EAN. We appreciate you.